saying?
The Hominy Parade.
They couldn't send it?
No. So Shannon ran to Hominy real quick to fill out a form.
Okay. It's on. Okay, and we'll call the Appropriations Committee back to order. And we are on the resolutions, and I've had a request to move to item 15 first because it will help us with the other items. So we're going to jump to number 15, which is ONCR 2304, a resolution to approve the encumbered funds policy of the Osage Nation Treasury. Congresswoman Rebard is the sponsor. Congresswoman Rebard, you have the floor.
Hey, thank you, Chair. And so in this particular item, I think, Shanna, I'm going to ask for your help with this, too. I've noticed we've received a couple of variations of this policy, so I want to make sure that the committee is looking at the most current. I think there was one that was sent that was revised, and that might have been today, if I'm not mistaken.
Mr. McIntosh is going to respond to that. Shanna has had to run an errand for us, and so she's out of the office right now.
Oh, okay.
Mr. McIntosh?
And that correction was to the, just change, instead of saying Title II per the attachment, it's actually Title 15, Chapter 2, Subchapter 5, in the beginning of the policy purpose. That was the only change.
Did you catch that? Congresswoman.
Okay. Yes, I just want to make sure that everybody on the committee is looking at the proper policy.
Chair. Congresswoman Shaw.
So I have the one stamped today at 10:46 a.m. Is that the correct one?
Yeah, it should say Title 15. Purpose.
No, we're unencumbered. Okay. Jump to number 15.
I think that'll be a good prerequisite.
Okay, yeah. 10:46. Yes, that's what it is. Title 15 on the speaker.
I'm trying to catch up with y'all. Hold on a second. I don't know how I got up here without the resolution. But. All right. Congresswoman Rebard, you want to go ahead?
Okay, thank you. And I have the same. This is Communication 23-65, dated today at 10:46 a.m. And it should be titled End of Fiscal Year Encumbered Funds Policy. And so again, this is a resolution, and if we could, Chair, I'll turn it over to the Treasurer to discuss the policy and the reason why they're bringing it to Congress for approval.
Before we get started with that, I didn't know if you had it or not, Congresswoman Rebard, but there's been a request for an amendment. And I don't know if that came from Mr. McIntosh or if it came, okay, came from Mr. McIntosh through Trey. They want the change, but I don't have the amendment in front of me.
I think that's on 2304.
Yes.
Okay. I have the amendment. Thank you, Chair. I can read it.
Okay.
So on page one, line 16, strike encumbered funds policy and insert end of fiscal year encumbered funds policy and end of fiscal year encumbered funds carryover policy. Page one, line 27, strike policy and insert and carryover policies. Page one, line 32, strike encumbered funds policy and insert end of fiscal year encumbered funds policy and end of fiscal year encumbered funds carryover policy. Page one, lines 33 through 34, strike November 29th, 2022 and insert December 1st, 2022.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Mr. McIntosh, did you want to explain the reason for the change?
Okay. Yes, the or start the policy. Is that for the reason for the change?
Yeah, the change from encumbered and carryover.
Okay, yes. So wanted to establish just a basic policy that said following Title 15, Chapter 2, Subchapter 5, encumbered funds reporting, which essentially says that we're to provide an encumbered fund report within the first 31 days after the end of the fiscal year, and that those would be allowed. Within that, kind of, that would be as far as defining which encumbrances would be essentially carried over from one year to the next. So the encumbered funds policy just kind of outlines these are the type of encumbrances that will qualify to be carried over from one year to another. And then the encumbered fund policy will also outlay these are the type of encumbrances that I don't believe should carry over from one year to the next. So it's kind of trying to define a little bit more in regards to the way that the current code reads, so that when we approach year end, I can be on the same page and departments can be on the same page as me, as well as Congress understands the way I'm operating.
Okay.
And then, so the encumbered funds carryover policy, and when I read into that or go over that policy, that's essentially saying that kind of in the scope of if you bring an encumbrance over, really that's just an estimate. And at the end of the day, it's really more about what the actual expenditure was against that encumbrance. And kind of working through this past year, there were several times that it was brought up that certain budgets were overspent. And as I researched into it, identified that, well, the encumbrances were there at the end of the last fiscal year. But according to GAAP, I have to expense it in the year that we receive it. So that's kind of the purpose of the additional policy, is just to kind of say how that works as far as, all right, the first policy will say, here's the encumbrances that we allow to carry over and we'll honor. The carryover policy will say, once all those expenditures are done in the first 90 day or 75 days, or before December, the following December 15th, I will determine that that's the actual expense, and that's the actual amount that should be carried over from the prior year. We shouldn't carry over the encumbered amount. It'll be the actual amount spent. So that's why there's two policies, one to say, here's the encumbrances that qualify to carry over, and here's the ones that don't. The second policy then says, this is what you do after that, and this is how you come up with what actually is the amount that should be carried over. And I think in working with appropriations over the last year or so, this is several discussions that we've had on this, and that it was recommended I bring a policy to kind of outline how that should work, because I think right now that the carryover, if we allow that encumbrance to carry over, it was encumbered against the prior year budget. The expense will show up in the current year. There isn't any kind of the term financial vehicle to bring that budget over to cover that expense. So then those expenses that we're honoring because they were encumbered at year end are showing up in the new year. Well, that budget for this new year didn't account for that stuff. That follow makes mm-hmm. sense. So
yeah.
We kind of identified that that's an area that we probably need to kind of outline and define and start working this process so that one, we're on the same page that no one's really violating that we're overspending budgets
right.
because there is a law that says we honor encumbrances. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the basis for both policies. One, these are the encumbrances we'll honor, will not. And then after that, here's what you do to determine the true carryover amount.
Okay. And so thus, it's the encumbered funds and carryover funds together in one policy to explain both of them.
Yeah. There'll be an encumbered funds policy, and that's to identify which ones will be honored as far as these encumbrances will carry over to the next fiscal year. Okay. And then I wrote a separate policy to say, here's how you determine the true carryover amount that should be requested from the prior year budget into the new year.
Okay, so but we are changing the title of this one to include and carryover funds.
We're changing the title from one to make them two separate policies.
Okay.
Is that because it was just read in as encumbered policy, so we added that actually there's two policies, not just one.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second, and we're talking about this amendment. So, and this is a point, because all of a sudden I'm a little concerned here. So, Congresswoman Lemon?
My understanding is the amendment brought the carryover language in,
mm-hmm.
where before it wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
That's my understanding.
Yes, ma'am.
That's okay. My understanding of this amendment.
Okay, but the policy will be separate.
Yes, there are two okay. policies, and I think without the amendment, I couldn't discuss the carryover policy today.
I see.
That's probably okay. a better way to explain it.
Okay. All right. All right. Any other comments? Okay. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no.
Yeah.
All right. The motion passes for the amendment. So now we're on the policy itself. Congresswoman Rivard, you have comments?
I would like to just to get the committee up to date real quick. Sent an email to Congress notifying them that I'll amend the proclamation to include the encumbered funds policy because the proclamation, the original, only referenced the carryover policy, and Trey recommended that I do that. So I'll be doing that on Tuesday.
Okay. Any comment on what we're discussing today?
No, I just think that, with regards to the policy, I think it's pretty clear with regards to the encumbrances and the carryover. If you have any questions, I think we should direct them at the treasurer. But I feel like it's pretty pretty straightforward in the policy that he sent.
Yes, gives us the formula.
Madam Chair.
To operate. Congressman Big Horse.
Yes, ma'am. And I agree with Congresswoman Rivard. It's pretty straightforward, pretty self-explanatory, and well needed. So I appreciate your hard work on it.
Any other comments or questions? Any action?
Chair, I'll make a motion to send ONCR 23-04 to Congress with a due pass recommendation.
Second.
As amended.
As amended.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, yes. Say no. Okay, the motion passes. And so that's a due pass. Okay, so we will go back up now to ONCR 2302, a resolution to approve the retained revenue policy of the Osage Nation Treasury. Congresswoman Rivard is the sponsor. Do you have comments?
Yes, ma'am. So the policy associated with this resolution, it looks like we received that on November 29th, 2022 at 9:47 a.m. And it's titled Retained Revenue and Obligated Funds Policy.
Everybody found the policy? You have any questions or you want to take a minute? Mr. McIntosh, while they look, do you want to give us a quick rundown?
Yes, so of course at the end of the audit, the big question is always, what's the retained revenue? And kind of in that discussion, it's never really got a consistent answer on how to determine that, but I think through cooperation and meetings that we've had between Treasury and Appropriations, and then as well as the budget analyst, that this policy represents a way to outline how you determine that unobligated fund balance after the audit's complete. And kind of in the world of finance, these type of calculations are not things we like to guess at. We want to know this is how you do it. And I think we've identified most of the parameters as far as how to determine that unobligated balance. And I can read through that if need be.
Anyone have any questions or comments?
I can provide additional.
Here, Congresswoman Shaw.
This isn't necessarily a question, and I have the policy in front of me, and it looks fairly straightforward as well. But if you could just sum it up in a couple of words without using or without reading the entire policy, that'd be great.
Yeah, in looking at this and working, like I said, together and discussing how to really come up with this balance, we essentially, it's taking all the tribal fiscal year appropriations and then all the type of appropriations that will not return back to retained revenue, such as revolving funds. That fund balance will remain with the revolving fund. Anything we send to external agencies, it's not coming back to the general fund. Appropriations without fiscal year limitations, they are not going to go back to retained revenue. They'll carry forward. So essentially, it's kind of following that same pattern, the same thing with appropriations with restricted projected revenues. Those typically have to remain in their own fund balance. It's not going to come back to retained revenue. And then that's when we get into, you know, the actual, once we remove all those type of appropriations, then we're left with kind of the shell of, here's the appropriations that now I'm going to take actual expenditures against. And then I'll determine that value. And then after that, in accordance with the carryover policy that we just discussed, those have to be honored because they're against those encumbered funds from that year. So we need to make sure that we account that that doesn't go back to retained revenue. And I feel at this time that we've covered most of everything that we've discussed or come across in the last 12 months or so. But if we identify something else, I will bring it back and to be updated.
Any questions, Congresswoman Shaw?
Thank you, Chair. So I'm looking, hopefully I'm looking at the right version, but there are some definitions that are not defined, I guess.
In this policy, there's no definitions for the one. It would just be based on the definitions that already exist.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Anyone else have any questions?
Chair, Ms. Rivard.
Congresswoman Rivard.
Yes, thank you. And Tyler, it may be, I think everybody on the committee understands, you know, less the revolving fund appropriations. You want to give an example of maybe what less the appropriations to external agencies. You want to talk about maybe an example of that type of an appropriation?
I believe like the appropriation made to like CASA, and I think also like the appropriation made to the home health, their component units. So those are considered external agencies. And once that appropriation goes over, it remains within those entities. Did that, was that clear?
Yes, I think it, I mean, Chair, if I may, I feel like that's clear to me.
Anyone else have any questions or comments? Are we ready for any action?
Chair, I'll make a motion. That we send to Congress with a due pass recommendation, ONCR 23-02.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Motion passes. Next, we are on ONCR 2303, a resolution to approve the financial management plan and investment strategy of the Osage Nation. And I believe Congresswoman Shaw, you're the sponsor, is that right? It's not on my copy.
No, ma'am. That would be Congresswoman Rivard.
Congresswoman Rivard?
Yes, ma'am.
You have the floor.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I think that we had addressed this while back in a different during session, and the treasurer has reached out asking that we amend the policy. As you guys know, we have an investment committee, and this request has been approved by the, I think it's the Investment Oversight Committee. Isn't that correct, Treasurer? Have you guys have approve this as a committee, isn't it, you and Scott Manser?
Yes, we have approved it as a committee.
Okay, thank you. And so if you have any questions with regards to the actual policy, I'd ask the treasurer to talk more about that.
Mr. McIntosh.
So the biggest, just to kind of summarize, of course, we were been looking at our investments, and when you looked at the initial plan that was passed 2 years ago, and we feel as an investment committee that we should at least look at it annually and update it. And then especially with the way that the market has been in the last 12 months, one thing that we do, or we are, what we have elected, or I guess approved, is that we would like the schedule on page 8 to allow us to move completely out of international funds if needed. And with the current status of the war in Ukraine, Russia, and what's going on in China, we've experienced some pretty heavy loss in that area. The current plan, we have to at least stay 5% in. And with just those certain circumstances at the current time, our recommendation, or what we've voted on, we would like to be able to take that percentage down to 0. So that if we want to move out, we're planning on looking at potentially moving out for 3 months, reassess to see if we want to get back into international, but we have a little bit more confidence in domestic type equities. And so that's really the major change here. And to kind of sum up the other, it's updating some benchmarks where we're looking at it, as we discussed back at the last presentation, I think in August or September, that, you know, we were kind of more setting at a high-risk portfolio level where we're kind of 60-40, and we've kind of, we want to adjust that to where we are going to be more 40 on the high risk, 60 on the low risk. So we're wanting to kind of move and electing to add more low risk options to our portfolio so that we can make that move. And then that's typically what I've seen in other governments, is you're typically higher on the low risk, because governments in general should not assume risk. And that's kind of, I think, the easiest way to kind of explain the change in the plan is that we're moving to more of a conservative approach and adding those benchmarks as well.
Congresswoman Lemon, did you have a question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Not really a question. I'm glad that to be having this discussion today with all the other, you know, discussions that we've had since you've become here to the nation, Mr. McIntosh. And, you know, I'm happy to see this because, you know, we did have a loss. And, of course, sometimes when you reassess, you find out that you've written a policy or put in some guidelines that really kind of put you in a corner, and you don't ever want to have to do that. And to me, I feel like by doing this in this way, it frees you up to move more easily in the directions that you need to move for our investments with the permanent fund investment. So I'm happy to see this, and I appreciate the work that you guys have done on it. Thank you.
Anyone else have any questions or comments?
Madam Chair.
Congressman Bighorse.
Yes, I too am glad that we're moving this direction in these most uncertain times.
Okay. I guess I have one little bitty question. Once this passes and it's executed, what's the time frame to make the change happen?
We'll contact, since with the investment committee has already voted to approve and waiting upon congressional approval, we can implement this as soon as, we can probably send this in tomorrow and have it in place, I would say as early as Monday.
Okay. So we'd be looking to move fast. Well, it probably won't get voted on until Monday. So.
Wednesday.
Okay. All right. Okay. Anybody else have any comments or questions? Any action?
Chair, I'll make a motion to send ONCR 23-03 to Congress with a due pass recommendation.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, yes. Say no. Yeah. All right. That concludes our agenda for today, I believe. Did I leave anything out?
No, Chair, I have a question.
Speaker.
So you have two items left here in committee. Do you know on Tuesday, because we have session at 10, we can report out. And so it wouldn't take us long to report out and then recess to finish up, if you think that you can get the things that you need to move the other two items out of this committee for us to recess. So if you want to set your meeting earlier, like at, I don't know, 10:30, then that will be best.
We have new material, too, that came down today. So we do have... I don't know how many bills this is going to create, but we do have two sections of new information and then the two postponed, or three postponed. I don't remember now. Anyway, the two or three that we have postponed, but I still think we can get through Tuesday without much problem at all.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
Chair, this is Regard. Which bills have been postponed thus far?
ONCA 2301 and ONCA 2303. And ONCA 2306 have been postponed. And then, like I said, we have new bills that came in today. The seven? I have seven down as a due pass. Clerk?
Seven.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So are there any further questions or comments?
So, okay. Yes, Chair, what will be added to 2301?
Well, I've been talking to the treasurer about looking at the budget again and determining how we could set it up so that we have cost centers in those areas of ENR that are set up as require having cost of goods sold. They're, you know, we're selling products now out of there. So it's not just grant work.
Okay, and then if I may, we had received, I think in 2358, the original or cap asset request.
Those will all be on
tax
those,
commission.
That will
and
all,
tax commission board. So will those be sections that'll be amended into that bill?
Those should be what's part of 2301 or 2303 or 2306. It was in 2301. It's in 2301.
2306 is judicial.
Okay, can we catch you up on all of this after meeting?
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. All right, then we are at adjournment.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed, say no. We are adjourned. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. For all the directors and staff that attended, thank you.
So I was thinking if between now and then there's enough time to figure it out, if you want to have your meeting.